We're looking now at Pachad Yitzchak, and we're up to Inyan Chaf. Inyan Chaf Alf. Chaf we did last time. And he's talking about the mitzvah Mishloach Manos, and he sees in this mitzvah an expression of Purim Kippurim. And we've mentioned in the past that the Gaon Mivilna explains that what we find in Chachamim, that Yom Purim, Kippurim, which is something that's found in the Arizal, an equation between Purim and Yom HaKippurim, as if to say they're equally important and weighty, and they partner up to form one whole. The Gaon says that just like we find in the laws of Yontif, in the Gemara Beitzah, that there's a concept called Chetzil Hashem v'Chetzil Lachem. Half is dedicated to Hashem and half Lachem. Half to spiritual, heavenly endeavors, half to physical enjoyments. He says Yom Purim and Yom HaKippurim, insofar as they integrate to form one whole, reflect the shlemus of one moed, meaning there's the Chetzil Hashem and the Chetzil Lachem. The Yom HaKippurim aspect is the Chetzil Hashem, and the Yom HaPurim aspect is the Chetzil Lachem, which means that on Yom HaKippurim, obviously, we dedicate the day to tefillah, to spiritual heavenly matters, whereas Yom HaPurim is primarily dedicated to physical enjoyments and pleasures and simcha mishloach manos matos avyonim to beinonim lechavero. It's lachem. It's really lachem down here, based and anchored in this world. Two parts that make up one whole. That's Purim Kippurim. Let's add another dimension to this presentation of the Gaon. What's common to Purim and Yom HaKippurim in terms of the original history of these two dates is they both represent and commemorate a Yeshua. It means a salvation from a divine decree of destruction. In the case of Yom Kippur, the Pasuk describes it in Devarim Perek Tes, Heref Mimeni Vashmidem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe and notifies him that I'm going to destroy the Jewish people. The very word Vashmidem, which appears again in the case of Yom Purim in the third chapter of Esther, when it says Lahashmid, the same word Ashmidem, Lahashmid Laharog Uliyabed. There is, however, one fundamental contrast between the two cases, the divine decree to destroy Klal Yisrael in the case of the Chet HaEgel, and the divine decree to destroy Klal Yisrael at the time of Haman. On Yom Kippur, both the Gzeira, the divine decree to destroy the Jewish people, and the Yeshua, the salvation for that decree, was only something that was known up in the heavens, because it was a discussion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe. Within the context of that dialogue, it was clear up in the heavens that Hashem had decided to destroy the people of Israel, and then finally, as a result of the tefillos of Moshe, Hashem reversed the decision. In the case of Purim, the Gzeirah was well known down here on this earth. All the dealings with Achashverosh and Haman and Mordechai were known. It was a davar yadua, it was nikar, it was well recognized, both the decree and the salvation from the decree. So here we have another expression, another reflection of the same idea that Yom HaKippurim belongs to the world of Kulo Lashem, Yom Purim belongs to the world of Kulo Lachem. Yom HaKippurim commemorates the salvation from an unknown decree that threatened to destroy the Jewish people, and an unknown salvation from that decree. it all was known up in Shamayim, Lamala, in the worlds above. That's the world of Kula Lashem. In the case of Yom Purim, both the Gzeirah and the Yeshua were known, well known down here on earth, well recognized, and that represents Lachem. But if we go beyond that, and we speak about the Kedushas HaZman of these 2 days, of Yom HaKippurim and Yom Purim, we can come to the conclusion that there's another parallel between these days. And that is, Omedesi Bakbalala Makom HaMa'ora Shalahem. Again, we're going to see the Lashem and the Lachem dimensions in terms of the place of the Yeshua. On Yom HaKippurim, the Yeshua takes place up in heavens. The Kedushas HaZman is really the Lashem dimension of salvation. And in the case, by contrast, of Gzeras Purim, of Lahashmid, Laharug, Layabed, there the salvation of Purim is down here on this earth. And therefore the Kedushas HaZman that's generated by both Yeshuas from both respective decrees, Gzeros, are mashlim, they complete one or the other. Everything that happens on Yom HaKippurim happens up in Shamayim, it's Kul Hashem. Everything that happens on Purim is down here on earth, it's Kul Lachem. So we have the Mechza, when we take these two Moedim together and create two sides of one coin, one entity, we've got on the one end the Kul Lachem, and that's the case of Yom HaKippurim, and on the other hand, the Kul Lachem. The very sanctity of the day of Yom HaKippurim is completely dedicated lemala to Kula Lashem. The Kedushas HaZman is the Mechtel Hashem of that Yeshua that goes on up in heaven. In the case of Purim, the Kedushas HaZman of Purim is engendered by the Gzera down here and the Yeshua down here on this earth, and that's the Mechtel, the other half, which is Chetzia Lachem. And here the Pachad Yitzchak wants to shed a light on relationships, human relationships, because Yom HaKippurim as a day of Kapara is also a day of Bein Onam L'Chavero. How so? Where are interpersonal relationships relevant to Yom HaKippurim? And the answer is that, as the Mishnah establishes it, Yom HaKippurim cannot be effective without Ritzui and Pius. Meaning, Yom HaKippurim on Mitzos Bein Adam L'Makom could be an automatic Mechaper, but on Mitzos Bein Adam L'Chavero, the requirement is that Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper Ad Shiratza Es Chavero. And this is codified in the Mishnah in Yuma Pehe. So the Ritzui, which means that if I hurt you, I come to you and I ask you to be Mochel me, to grant me Mechila, all that takes place in a dialogue between one person and another to patch up the Bein Adam L'Chavero. And that's an integral part of Yom HaKippurim. And that's what it says, Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper Ad Shiratzes Chaver. We have the minog of doing this on Erev Yom HaKippur, because we don't want to even enter into Yom HaKippurim as the great day of Lifnei Hashem Titaru, knowing full well that how can we expect Kapara and Tahara from Yom HaKippurim if we haven't been Meratzes Chaver. So the process of reestablishing friendships and tying intense, close ksharim, you know, knots that bring man and man together, that is not a foreign element to Yom HaKippurim. As much as we think that Yom HaKippurim is a day of tefillah and slichos, man stands in front of Hashem, he beats his breast and so forth, but there's also a very, very fundamental and essential element of Bein Adam L'Chaveru. Now, if we want to take the flip side, because we said that Yom HaKippurim and Yom Purim are two sides of one entity, two halves of a whole, let's look at the Bein Adam L'Chaveru element of Yom HaPurim. Let's isolate and single out the Bein Adam L'Chaveru of Purim. What is it? Of course, it's the Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyehu. The Pasuk in Esther in Perek Tes says that this is a day not only of Mishteh, not only of Simcha, but of Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyehu. It's not enough that I eat a Suda, that's the mitzvah of Suda, and I drink and eat this Mishteh and Simcha, but I have to divide, I have to invite you to take part in my Suda, I have to send you a segment of my Suda. That's the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyehu. And the purpose of Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyehu is to achieve a Bein Adam L'Chaveru. Of course, in the case of Yom HaKippurim, when we deal with Bein Adam L'Chaveru, we're talking about Ritzui, we're talking about Pius, we're talking about Dibur and Amira. It's through the power of speech that I ask you for Mechila. And therefore, speech represents the Ruach. As the Targum says on the Pasuk Vayipach, the Apov, Nishmas Chaim Ruach Memalala. Ruach Memalala is the Ruach of speech. This is a very heavenly spiritual dimension of man. What man is endowed with, and that makes him unique on the earth, that God has created is the power of speech. And that power of speech is called the Ruach Memalala, which is the power that I use on Yom HaKippurim and entering into Yom HaKippurim to achieve Bein Adam L'Chaveru Ritzui and Pius, to patch up the friendship that may have been impaired and damaged by a sin. But let's look at Bein Adam L'Chaveru Purim. Here it's no longer the Ruach, the world of Ruach that belongs to the divine world, the upper worlds of heavens, but rather Bein Adam L'Chaveru here on this earth in the Chetz Yelachem, and that is Ritzui and Pius through sending Manos for the Sudas HaPurim. What are these Manos? I grant you, I give you a gift, part of my Suda, to facilitate your Suda. That's Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyehu. That's also a process of patching up and intensifying relationships of Bein Adam L'Chaveru. It's also a form of Pius and Ritzui. And if during the course of the year, if Reuven heard Shimon, his method of Ritzui and Pius is through Bakashas Mechila, through Amira. But on Purim, relationships can be intensified and made so much more intimate and warm. Those friendships can become so much more profound, but through the Seuda. The Seuda now becomes the conduit, if you will, the Hechsher for intensifying these intimate relationships, these friendships. And therefore the Seuda has its objective, the Guf. And this we see that not only in the way a person does his avoda, is there a sharp contrast between Yom HaKippurim and Yom Purim? Where Yom HaKippurim is Kulay Lashem. You know, we're davening the whole day, we're saying Slichas the whole day. Yom HaPurim is Kulo Lachem. We're involved in physical pleasures, etc., Simcha. But there's a contrast here, even in terms of, if you will, the Avoda of Bein Adam L'Chaveru. The achievement of Bein Adam L'Chaveru is on Yom HaKippurim Kulo Lashem. It means it belongs to the world of the spirit, of speech, of abstract intelligence, the high level of the heavenly dimension of man. Here, with regard to Purim, the Bein Adam L'Chaveru is achieved through the physical, material elements of man, through the Kulo, through the Chetz Yelachem of Sudas Purim. Mishloach Manos is the extension of Sudas Purim. And therefore, we have two different Hanhagos, even in Bein Adam L'Chaveru, one of Yom HaKippurim, the other of Purim, and each one is a half contributing to a whole. It's Mechtzel Hashem and Mechtzel Lachem. The Gemara tells us in Megillah on Daf Yudalit Amid Beis, Yudalit Amid Aleph, that Arboim Vishmona Nevi'im Amdu Lehem Yisrael, during the course of time, there were 48 Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael. V'kulam lo pichsu v'lo hosiru ela mikra Megillah bilvad. Mikra Megillah represents that part of Tanakh which is being added. There were no other additions at that late stage in Jewish history. Nevuah is coming to a close, and perhaps already came to a close, we should say, but there was a Ruach HaKodesh that allowed for the writing of Megillah, or alternatively, that there was a takana of a mitzvah of Megillah, and that takana to read the Megillah, that obligation is rooted in Kisvei HaKodesh. The Nevi'im in that sense use the written word of Kisvei HaKodesh to engender a new mitzvah, create a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. My Rebbe, the Rav, used to always say that as a result of that takana of Mikra Megillah, there was license for later on, two centuries down the line, to establish the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, to commemorate the mitzvah, the Ness of Chanukah. Even though technically we don't add to the Torah, but the precedent was set back at the time of Mikra Megillah. But the question that we want to ask here is, why is it that of all places and all contexts to find this exception to the rule, that here Mikra Megillah is being established, the Megillah itself as Kisvei HaKodesh is engendering a new entity, we find it dafka here with regard to the miracle of Purim? Why? Is it just coincidental? What connects the miracle of Purim with the ability for the Chachamim to add something and the ability to create a mitzvah through Kisvei HaKodesh? And the answer that the Pachad Yitzchak wants to offer is to go back to the story of Yisro. Yisro is our first ger that enters into the covenant, enters into Kedushas Yisro. And the parsha of Yisro coming to join the people of Israel at the beginning of Parshas Yisro, Mashmu Shamu Ba, and if you look in Shmos Perek Yudches, you'll see that Rashi quotes Chazal, and that is Milchemes Amolek. Chazal were meticulous about the fact that the very last parsha that precedes Vayovo Yisro is Shmos Yud Zayin, the parsha of Milchemes Amolek. Vayishma Yisro, what did Yisro hear? He heard Milchemes Amolek. The smichus between the parsha of Vayovo Yisro, Vayishma Yisro Vayovo, and the parsha of Milchemes Amolek is not coincidental. It's telling us that what he heard, Yisro, was about the battle against Amolek. And Chazal in the Medrash Rabbah, Darshin the pasuk in Mishlei, Lo Sake, Let's Take Upeti Ya'arim. This pasuk in Mishlei is interpreted by Chazal in the Shmos Rabbah, Let's Take Zamolek Upesi Ya'arim Zayisro. There's a relationship here. Perhaps the opposite relationship is Zelu Matzev, Amalek on the one hand and Yisro on the other. The Geiris of Yisro is a result of the Mapola of Amalek. And therefore, it means that the first addition to Klal Yisro, a new Geir, a new member of Klal Yisro, comes through the destruction of Amalek. Because that's what the pasuk is conveying to us according to Chazal, that Yisro hears about Amalek, and Yisro decides to become a ger. Now, all this, meaning the relationship between Mapolashel Yisro as something that the catalyst that triggers off the gerus, the first gerus in Klal Yisrael's history of Yisro, should be seen within the light of the famous statement or rule of Chazal Yisro v'Araisa Chadhu, meaning that what happens to Klal Yisrael has to be reflected in the Torah itself. And we had a long discussion about this where we spoke about Hanukkah. Here what we want to say is that just like the Mapola of Amalek adds Nefashos to Yisrael, and Yisrael joins the people of Israel in the aftermath of Amalek, so too, if there's a mirror image in Oraisa, because what happens to Yisrael has to register in the Torah itself, the destruction of Amalek has to add something to the Torah itself. It added to the people of Israel, and whatever happens to the people of Israel has to be reflected in the Torah, Yisrael v'Araisa Chanu. How does the destruction of Amalek not only add to Yisrael, but add to the Torah? And the answer is because Memches Nevi'im Lo Sifu B'Torah Klum Milvad Mikra Megillah. The entire Masechta Megillah, the whole Mitzvah Medivrei Sofrim of Kriyas HaMegillah, which adds a tremendous amount to the Torah and the Megillah itself, all this reflects the Tosefes to Klal Yisrael. Not only the Tosefes to Klal Yisrael, but the Tosefes to Torah, which is a mirror image of Tosefes to Klal Yisrael. So we have the destruction of Amalek, which brings new people to Klal Yisrael, in this case, the first Ger, Yisrael. And with the addition to Klal Yisrael, there's got to be an addition, a parallel addition to Torah, because Yisrael v'Araisa Chadu, and the addition to Torah is going to be the Megillah, all its takanos, and the mitzvah, and the mesechta. All that is an adding and an embellishment and expansion of Torah, which reflects Yisrael v'Araisa, because there's an expansion of Yisrael, so too there's an expansion of Torah. So the Purim now, as a commemoration of the destruction of Haman, really commemorates both the additional members of Gerim in Klal Yisrael and the additional parts of Torah Yisrael. Let's go on to Inyan Chaf Gimel, and we begin with the world famous Gemara in Masechet Megillah Daf Zayin Amid Beis. Chayev Adam Libsume Bepuraya Adelo Yada Ben Orer Haman LeBaruch Mardechai. The Gaon in his Biurim on Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Tofresh Tzadihei, which is the Siman of Sudas Purim, identifies Adelo Yada as not being able to distinguish between two miracles. The miracle of the destruction of Haman's downfall, and the miracle of the redemption of Mordechai. Let's try to give a deeper meaning to this new twist and new interpretation of Ad Lo Yada. We begin with the Gemara Megillah Daf Yudalid, Gedola Hasoras Tabas Yoser Mimemches Nevi'im. We had all these Nevi'im during the course of the history of Klal Yisrael. They each tried in their way to rebuke and chastise Klal Yisrael. But what really, at the end of the day, had the most profound impact on Klal Yisrael, it wasn't the words of chastisement of the Nevi'im, but rather it was Hasoras Tabas. It was the fact that Achashverosh passed on the control and the authority to Haman, and Haman therefore was able, when he picked up the tabas, to sign the decree, lahashmid laharug la'abit. In that sense, the asoras ha-tabas brought about a greater change in Klal Yisrael, an entire tshuva movement in Klal Yisrael that by far superseded all the impact of the Nevi'im. But the question we want to ask is, we're talking about anguish, what's called Yisurim, As a result of the Gzeir of Haman, we can't even imagine what was the anguish that Klal Yisrael experienced. And that Yisurim, which resulted from the Gzeir of Haman, of Laharig Lashman Liabed, is called Hasaras Tabas. But that's a little bit strange, because Hasaras Tabas is only the introduction. I mean, that wasn't the Gzeir itself. Now that Haman was endowed with the authority by Achashverosh, symbolized by the transfer of the Tabas which would enable Haman to sign all his decrees, that's a Gorem HaYisurim, that's the background, the cause for Yisurim. But here, in this context, the Asaras HaTabas should be the Etzem HaYisurim. It shouldn't be an introduction to the Yisurim. It should be the Yisurim themselves. Because if you ask yourself the question, what brought about the Tshuva movement of Klal Yisrael, it wasn't the Asaras Tabas. That was in the background. That was an indirect cause. What really brought about their Tshuva is the decree itself. Because the decree itself engendered such Yisurim in Klal Yisrael. You can't even imagine what it was like, the Yisurim of Klal Yisrael, when they heard about the Gzeira of Haman, Larig, Lahashmid, Lahabed. That Yisurim is what brings Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. And those Yisurim are more powerful than the words of 48 Nevi'im. But why the emphasis here on Hasaras Tabas? Hasaras Tabas is just the background. The Chazal should have said that it's not Hasaras HaTabas that brings about a tshuva movement, but rather it's the Surim that are Gorem, the tshuva of Klal Yisrael. In order to understand and unravel this mystery and define Hasaras HaTabas precisely, let's begin a little bit of introductory background with a Gemara Brachas Daf Hei. The Gemara says that Yisurim is called a bris. A bris is something that brings two separate independent entities together in the closest relationship that they possibly could have. The essence of a bris is when you have a yichud, an integration of two separate individual parties, each one unto himself. Now we can understand, in the light of our definition of a bris, why Yisurim is called a bris. What are the two entities, so to speak, that are integrated through the experience of Yisurim? And when we talk about the experience of Yisurim, the response to Yisurim on the highest level. And again, as an introduction, let's go back to the Gemara in Brachas on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara speaks about two categories of Shmuos. When a person gets the word, what did he hear? About what episode was he told? Was he enlightened? Was it a Shmuah Tova? Something obviously good? Or Chas V'Shalom a Shmuah Ra? He heard something very bad. And the Gemara says that each of these two Shmuos, these two categories of Shmuos, respectively engender two different brachos. In the case of a Shmuah Tova, you heard about something great, you should respond with the bracha of HaTov V'Ameitiv. In the case that you heard something evil, you should respond with the baruch of Dayan HaEmes. What does this mean? Why these two different brachos? In truth, is kol ma'adi ovid rachmana l'tavu. Everything is part of the process of good. There should be one bracha and one bracha only for both evil and good, because everything is good. But the answer is that in achinami, in our hearts, as the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Samach Amud Beis, we are required to accept everything of Hashem b'simcha, to really appreciate that even what looks ra on the outside, it looks evil, is really for the sake of our good. But that's on the level of the heart. That's the inner moment and the emotion of man. But on the level of brachos, meaning the way our emotions have to be expressed in this world, in terms of bitus fasayim, the way we express those brachos, we don't have the possibility of reciting a bracha of hatova meitiv on a shmua ra. No. We can only recite a bracha of dayan ha'emes. And that bracha doesn't indicate an appreciation for the ra as part and parcel of the tov, because we're incapable of expressing in words a bracha of atova meitiv for something evil, for catastrophe, Rachmanal Utslan. So it's very possible for a man to reach the highest level of Yisurim as a bris. What does Yisurim mean as a bris? He understands, he recognizes that Yisurim are good, that there's something good in Yisurim. It's cleansing him, it's purifying him, it's facilitating his ability to reach higher levels, to achieve ultimate goodness in the world to come. All these and many more. All this he recognizes in his heart. Humakir belibo tovasan shal Yisurim, even in a case of a shmur ra. But man, although he can recognize that in his heart, he can't live with that recognition on his lips. In other words, his outward expression, his bitus v'sayim, that even evil is really atova meitiv, that he can't do. Chazal organized, arranged the matbeah shel tefillah in a case of a shmur ra, of Baruch Dayan HaEmes. He can't say Atova Meitiv. That Madrega doesn't have. So let's now understand what the Gemara means in Psachim on Daf Nun when it says that the distinction between these two brachos is only relevant today, but will be totally irrelevant. All those distinctions will be marred. Be Achris Hayomen at the end of days. There'll only be one bracha, says the Gemara, at the end of days, and that's Atova Meitiv. As Zechariah Novi says in Perek Yudalad, Bayoma hu yesh Hashem echad, Ushmo echad. That's going to be Achdus, the oneness, where everything is viewed as Tova Meitiv. That reflects the Kishkes, the greatness of Achris Hayomim. So if a man accepts in his heart Yisurim bi'ava, and really understands and appreciates that these Yisurim are for his benefit, that in itself is a reflection or an expression of Achris Hayomim, of Bayom Ahuya Hashem Echad, that integration of all into one bracha of Bi'ava, of Hatova Meitiv. That's how the recognition his heart works. In his mouth, in terms of his verbal expression, actually he says Dayana Emes on a catastrophe. But since in his heart he believes that it's Hatova Meitiv, he's Mekabel Yisurim Bi'ava in his heart, therefore he is unifying at that moment the two hanhagos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dayana Emes and Tova Meitiv. On the level of Biti Susayim, he's recognizing the hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Dayana Emes, but his heart, being Makabel Bi'ava, that capacity is because he recognizes that even Dayana Emes is really Tova Meitiv, that which looks evil is really good. It's all brought about by Hashem. This is the identity between Yisurim and Bris. Bris, as we said before, is taking two separate entities and bringing them together into one integration to form one whole. This man who's Mekabel Yisurim Bi'ava, he's also undergoing a great process of Yichud and Chibur, of unification and integration, when he takes two Anhagos, one Anhaga of Dayan HaEmes, which admits that there is evil, to the Anhaga of Hatova Meitiv in his heart. He's verbally expressing Dayana Emes as if they were two entities, Ra and Tov. But emotionally, he's being Makabel Yisurim Bi'ava in his heart. That is not a distinction between Ra and Tov, but on the contrary, a unification and integration of Ra and Tov. Ubioser omek halohu ha'ichud v'achibur shal yom hazeh v'yom ahu. On an even deeper level, you could talk about Yisurim as a bris, because what he's connecting is today with the ultimate v'yom ahu, Yihashem echad u'shmo echad, the ultimate unification that will take place at the end of days. And he's doing it right now, because in his heart, by being mekabel Yisurim v'ava, he is really integrating Hashem echad, the oneness, which means that everything is good, even what looks to me as evil. I could be mevarech hatova meitiv because it's really good. It's all for my own benefit. And that's what he really could be mevarech. The only din is that he's mevarech that belivo. In his lev, he's saying hatova meitiv. Bepiv, he's saying dayan ha'emes. On the outside, because we're not yet ready for the achris hayomim, the distinction between ra and tov is clear. But on the level of his lev, he's already living in the world of the achris hayomim. By being mekabel yisurim bi'ava, he himself is taking yisurim, which means ra, and he's integrating them with an ichud and a chibur of that vision, that worldview of Achris HaYomim, that even Yisurim and even evil is really good, is really for his benefit. It's Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, the Baruch HaMotov HaMeitiv of his heart. For he who is Mekabel Yisur B'Ava is the Yichud and the Chibur of today with the end of days, of these two Anhagos, of one Anhag in which Ra and Tov are separate in contrast to individual entities, and replacing that with the Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv Hashkof of the Achris HaYomim, that states that even Yisurim and even Ra is really integrated into Tov, into Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. And by unifying these worlds, he is actually entering into a bris. Because that's what we said is a bris. A bris when you sew up or integrate two things, that entities that seem to be opposed to each other, and integrate them into one whole. And now the Pachad Yitzchak adds another introduction. And he says that Yisurim, suffering, anguish, and evil, can be subdivided into itself. In other words, until now we had the subdivision between Shmuah Tova and Shmuah Ra. Now we're taking Shmuah Ra and we're breaking it down into its, if you have a flowchart here, into its two tributaries. And that is what we can talk about in terms of the twofold nature of Yisurim, the two subcategories, if you will, of Ra. One is called the Yisurim of Tzadik Viralo, the Yisurim in which a righteous person suffers, and then there's Yisurim of Rasha V'Tovlo. Imagine what the tzaddik feels like in a normal emotional response to the fact that he witnesses Rasha V'Tovlo. Everything's going well for the Rasha. He's not suffering, he's not being punished. He, the tzaddik, is suffering. And all this, whether it's tzaddik v'ralo, the actual physical suffering that the tzaddik has to endure, or the psychological suffering, especially in the case of seeing the Rishayim, that they are experiencing Rasha V'Tovlo, these are the two different subcategories of Shmuah Ra. Because even though Shmuah Ra ostensibly would be the physical suffering of the tzaddik v'ralo, but there's another dimension to Shmuah Ra, and that's the evil of witnessing Rasha V'Tovlo. It's such a terrible thing to see Rasha V'Tovlo. It causes such anguish. And that too is called the Shmuah Ra, when he hears that the Rishayim are having such a good time. The language of the Pachad Yitzchak here is very dramatic. He says, Hara'iya, witnessing Tovasim Shel Rishayim, how the Rishoyim are hoopling, they're on the top of the world. Yeshba harbe yoser yisurin, that's even more painful. It causes even more profound anguish. May I show yisuri at tzaddikim atzmon than the physical or psychological anguish of the tzaddik. So in other words, there are two shmuas roles for. There's a shmuah ra when you hear that it's tzaddik v'ralo. There's a shmuah ra of Russia Vitovla. And in truth, although as a general rule in all contexts and in all places and locations we separate between these two Shmuos Ros, each one has its own Mahalach. There's a Tzadik Veralo and there's a Rosh HaVitovlo and they're independent one of the other. Each one expresses itself in a different time, in a different place. However, HaMolech is the exception. What kind of Yisurim does Klal Yisrael suffer from through HaMolech? What is that relationship, the nature of that relationship between HaMolech and Yisrael? And the answer is, here we have an exception to the rule. Within the context of HaMolech vis-a-vis Yisrael, the Hanhug of Tzadik V'Ralo and the Hanhug of Rosh HaVitovlo are really two sides of the same coin. They're not two different branches or subcategories, as we saw of Shmur Rav. It's all one and the same. And here, the Paran Yitzchak introduces his final introduction, and that is based on the pasuk in Bereishis Chaf Hei Vayisrotzitzu Abonim Bekirba. The difference between Yaakov and Esav is Rashi embellishes this Vayisrotzitzu phenomenon by saying Kishezeh comes and nofel. It's automatic. It's interdependent. If Yaakov goes up, is Esav goes down. If Esav goes up, Yaakov goes down. So therefore, we can make the following statement. In contrast to Rosh HaVitovlo and Tzadik V'Ralo as two separate anhagos and two separate phenomena that exist in the world, in the case of HaMolech, what we're dealing with is both Tzadik V'Ralo and Rosh HaVitovlo as one and the same. It's got to be because of the Zekom Zen no-fail mechanics. Outside of the context of HaMolech, in the general universal realm of being, the Tov of the Rasha does not necessarily engender the Ra to the Tzadik. They're two different entities. It's possible that the Rasha is having it good, but the Tzaddik also is having it good. I mean, there is such a feasibility. Where do we find that Rasha V'Tovlo is ipso facto Tzaddik V'Ralo? That's only in the context of HaMolech. And the Paran Yitzchak writes that only with regard to HaMolech is l'umat tenua shel tov l'rasha behechrei sheyesh l'umasa tenua shel rav v'tzadik. Hechrei here means this is the mechanics. It can't work otherwise. There's tov for the rasha and there's rav for the tzadik. Zekam v'zeh nofel. And therefore we talk about the yisurim that are caused to klal yisurim by HaMolech. Those yisurim break new ground. They're unique. They deserve a new category, a new name, a Shem Liatzman, a Cholkim Shem Liatzman. What is the name that defines the essence of the Surim that Klal Yisrael suffer at the hands, or within the context of the encounter, the experience with HaMolech? We need a new name for that. This is not something individual. You know, all of the Yisurim, you could say, are Yisurim Pratiyim. You suffer, the Tzaddik suffers. But with regard to HaMolech, this is really something much more Klali. It's not Prati. What the Yisurim of HaMolech, the Yisurim that are engendered and caused by HaMolech, are really representative of the two types of Shmuos as one entity. And this is what Chazal mean when they call the Gzeir of Haman Hasoras HaTabas. The Hasora itself is the Surim, because the Hasora itself means the Tovas HaRosh, the Gdulas HaShel Haman. Haman is raised to a higher level, that's Rosh HaVitovlo. Is that Tovas HaRosh must engender Ra to the Tzaddik, and Mordechai goes down, and Klal Yisrael go down. And that's behechrich. That's what licked, that's what's inherent in the Gzeir of HaMolech. The name for the Surim must reflect this very unique nature of the surim that are caused by a Molech. It's a personality unto itself, a characteristic unto itself. It forces Chazal to find the surim of Amalek under a new category. All its tzaras and all the tzaras of Haman that inflict such pain and anguish and Klal Yisrael have to come under a new name of Yisurim. And that new name is called Asaras Tabas, because Asaras Tabas reflects the fact that the Gdulasel Shel Haman, the Rosh of the Tovlo, is ipso facto a tzaddik viralo, it's zekam v'zenofel. It's vayisrotzitzu. This concept of Asaras Atabas therefore becomes the semel, the symbol, in a sense the flag of Yisurim, insofar as Yisurim as a general concept incorporate both Tzadik Viralo and Rosh Vitovla. So the Metzias of Amalek in this world really is equal to the Metzias of Yisurim, if we take Yisurim in a general sense, which combines both Rosh HaVetovlo and Tzadik Viralo. And now we're ready for the punchline. And that is, what is the nature of Purim? What does Purim commemorate? It's the Mechiyah, the complete destruction of the entity, of the existence of Amalek. And in that sense, we're talking about a transition from a Hanhaga in which there is both Dayana Emes and Tova Meitiv, over to Hanhaga in which there's only Tova Meitiv, Simchas Purim, which is the Simcha of the destruction, Mechias Amalek, must be born out of a recognition with a clarity that with regard to Amalek, there's no difference between the Surim of Tzadik Viralo, the Surim of Rosh HaVetovlo. And once we remove that distinction, when Amalek as the name, the general code word, so to speak, that equals or is identified with the reality of Yisurim in this world, all of Yisurim, now that distinction between the two forms of Yisurim, which was negated by Amalek because Amalek is both Rosh HaVetovlo and Tzadik Viralo, at the same time, once the destruction of Amalek comes out, we have what emerges is a recognition, an understanding and a grasping that the salvation from Amalek and the destruction of Amalek is not just a destruction of one type of tzara and one type or form of Yisurim. It's not just that destroying Amalek means instead of Russia Vitovlo, it's going to be Russia Viralo. But we're talking about a much more all-encompassing and extensive Yeshua, general Yeshua, from the entire essence of Yisurim in this world. And what we're doing through the, what we're accomplishing, what's unfolding and emerging from the Yeshua, this general Yeshua from Yisurim as a result of the destruction of Amalek, is the Metzius of the Bracha of Hatova Meitiv, even for evil. We spoke before about the Bris Yisurim, when a person at least inwardly feels with Tmimus that even Yisurim that he suffers are all part of a divine plan. He's ready from an emotional perspective to recite the Bracha Baruch Hatova Meitiv even on the Ra. That Hakara, that recognition which is in the heart of a person, comes to the fore on Purim, when Purim commemorates a double Yeshua, a double salvation from God, the Gedulas Mordechai and the Mapolas Haman, which are really two sides of the coin. Because, as we said, when Ze'ola Ze'yored, so when we have Mordechai being elevated, that's called Gedulas Mordechai, is memela ipso facto we have Hapolas Haman. It has to be that way because of this relationship of Zekam and Zenofel. So now the two Yeshuas of number one Gedulas Mordechai and number two Hapolas Haman are really one and the same. And therefore, says the Pachad Yisro, Kishem Sheva Mahalech Hatsora of Hasora's Tabas is really the Tzora of Lahashmid Laharag Liabid, because we said Hasora's Tabas combines the two Yisurim into one, which means the elevation of Haman with the downfall of Mordechai. That's called Hasora's Tabas. And within that context, the Tzara of Hasora's Tabas is really the Tzara of Lahashmid Laharagu Liabed. Is in the flip side, the Mahalach HaYeshua, which is the flip side, obviously, of Hasora's Tabas, we have the Mapola of Haman as the Tova of the Gedulas Mordechai. It's all one and the same. And this will shed a light on the deeper meaning of what the Gaon says. Adelo Yoda Ben Orer Haman LeBaruch Mordechai means that he cannot distinguish between the Ness of Hapolas Haman and the Ness of Gedulas Mordechai. Those two are really the same, because it's Tzadik V'Tovlo is Rosh V'Ralo. Those are now connected because that's the nature of Yeshua from Amalek. The Yisurim of Amalek are one and the same of the greatness of Haman and the downfall of Mordechai, and the Yeshua which undermines the Amalek, the Yisurim of Amalek, is one and the same. It's the Mapola of Haman, the Gedulas Mordechai. We recognize that those two miracles are really one and the same. And that is the concept that sheds so much light on the Day of Purim, which commemorates the Mechia of Amalek. We are leaving the world of Dayana Emes and entering the world in which only one bracha exists, Hatova Meitiv. And at the end of this presentation, the Pachad Yitzchak quotes from the Kovetz Igros of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish writes, "Ein etzev ba'olam l'mishemakir es or ha'oros shel emes," which means that the emes has these two lights. There's Dayana emes, there's Tova Meitiv, and when we combine them together into one, into an ultimate truth, they form one entity, which is called the Bris HaYisurim. He who recognizes that the Bris HaYisurim is really one and the same, as there's no Etzev Ba'olam, because there's always Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, there's no room for Etzev. And therefore, it makes sense that through this quote-unquote Shichrus, this drunken state of Yom HaPurim, of Adelo Yoda, the way the Gaon entitles it, we become very smart. We get a glimpse of the ultimate Bris of the Achris HaYomim, in which there's no Etzev Ba'olam. In Yirtz Hashem, let the Simcha of Purim uplift us, make an impact on us that'll take us through the entire year to recognize that everything that comes from Hashem is always HaTov HaMeitiv, and therefore Ein Etzev Ba'olam. There's no Atzvus. Everything is Simcha.